Today on Real Radio.
And it's very subtle. It'd take this Bible study, and by noon today, your neighbor might say, "Hey, what was the message on today?" Worship. I don't know, something about why should I? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Because we're not meditating on the truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called Why Should I? It's a collection of topical lessons that takes a look at what Scripture has to say about the activities and lifestyles of the believer. That's you and me, by the way. In recent days, we've heard Pastor Jack answering some of these questions like, why should I go to church and why should I fellowship? Today's lesson is right up that alley. Why should I worship? And we're talking about going far beyond congregational singing. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called, Why Should I Worship?
You ever seen when something becomes routine? It's like when we were in school. I pledge allegiance, the United States of America, one nation of God. Okay, fine. It's like no big deal. Do you think these angels in their presence of God going, holy, holy, oh, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, the Almighty? No. They do it day and night, forever and ever. They have been. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. And they're going to do it forever. And you know what? They like it. They love it. And we need to say unto the Lord, give me that kind of heart. Because you know what? They're going to have to move over someday. Because you and I will be there. The book of Revelation is such a glorious book. And where do you see the church? Praising God in heaven in the book of Revelation. A multitude so vast, called out from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And what are they doing? Are they witnessing from door to door? No. Are they feeding the homeless in heaven? No. Not at all. What are they doing? They're worshiping. I love it. Well, jot this down if you would. Worship as a spiritual act, it requires new spirituality. Can you put that down, please? It requires new spirituality. Meaning, you cannot worship God, the Bible says, unless you're born again. You can't do it. You must be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, John 20, 21, Jesus said unto them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this unto them, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verses 21 to 22, is that moment for the first time regarding the birth of the New Testament believer. It was in that moment of John chapter 20 when the believers were born again. The Spirit of God began to dwell in them when Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. He came inside of them at that moment. And then, of course, the book of Acts is when he came upon them for ministry. You and I must be born again to worship God. Our hearts need to be completely changed before we can worship God rightly, says the Bible. So we need a new spiritual birth. And I want to ask you this morning, regarding the pathology of worship, have you experienced a new spiritual birth? You say, well, Jack, why are you saying this? Because listen, you can be religious, you can be a choir director, you can be a worship leader, and listen, you can miss heaven. That sounds awful mean. Who was the greatest worship leader ever created? Louis Lucifer. Lucifer. God created him. Read the book of Ezekiel. Read the book of Isaiah. It's trippy. The Bible says And if my memory serves me right, I don't have it in my notes. I think it's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. If it's not, reverse those chapters and read about him. He's pretty interesting, Satan is. The Bible says concerning his creation, there has been no angel created more beautiful than Lucifer. He was given extreme wisdom, and it was his job, listen, it was his job to lead all the created universe into worship of God, says the Bible. It says that out of his side go pipes. Pipes? What does that look like? I don't know. It's got to be weird, though. Out of his side go pipes, and his hands, it says, were as timbrels. You know what timbrels are? Tambourines. You ever seen those cartoons when somebody's trying to play and be the whole band at once, and the guy just walks, and he's the drum, the horns, and the cymbals, and it appears that Satan was one living, breathing, moving worship apparatus for the glory of God. But in his worship, the Bible says he became jealous. And he declares in the book of Isaiah his great five I wills. And it all begins with, I will be like God. And the Bible tells us that he was brought down to nothing because of his arrogance and his pride. But he was a tremendous created being for worship. Well, we need to have new hearts. We need to be born again if we're going to worship God right. And so the question is, are you born again? Have you had a new spiritual life so that you might worship? Secondly, under this point, worship is a spiritual act, and that it requires divine truth. Did you know that? It requires divine truth. I think you know where I'm going with this one. We came through it not too long ago, John chapter 4, regarding the Samaritan woman at the well, Jacob's well. John chapter 4, verse 23, as Jesus was conversing with her and talking back and forth about worship, the question came, and she said, we worship God in this mountain and Mount Gerizim, and you Jews say that God should be worshipped in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, listen, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, people mark it, there's true worshipers and there's false worshipers. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit is that born-again experience that we're talking about. Truth is God's prescribed manner of approaching him. There is a way. Now, again, I'm just talking to this church, but I'm wondering if we were to have a test or an essay, if I were to hand you a piece of paper and I would say to you, as a Christian, as a believer, note for me or write down a page of how do we approach God? My friend, this is a very serious question, because the Christian ought to be able to answer that essay. This is how we must approach God. We're to know this. Listen, it's because of professing Christians not knowing that we offer up all kinds of stuff in the name of worship. Oh, did you hear the worship tonight? Well, I don't know. Was it worship? Sometimes I listen to Christian radio, and for the life of me, I cannot tell if that band or if that person is singing about a woman or God. I can't tell if he's singing about a girl or she's singing about a guy or they're singing about God. I can't tell. I don't know. Is it worship? Well, it cannot be worship without obeying Jesus in this area. Are you born again? Is it spirit? And then secondly, is it truth? Do you know how to approach him? And so people, you know what? That's why we have worship, and that's why we get together. And we have our time with them. Why? Because we learn more and more about worship. It's so precious. Listen, this is a very good example on knowing him in this truth and divine truth. Exodus 3:12. Exodus 3:12 says this. And you know the story. Moses is there on top of Mount Sinai. There's the burning bush. And so he said, I will certainly be with you. God speaks to Moses, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So, well, that doesn't tell me anything. It tells you everything. The word in Hebrew means the self-existing one, the one who becomes, or the becoming one. I love that, by the way. God, I'm going to go down. I'm going to do the job that you've asked me to do. But when they ask me who sent me down there, what do I say? They're going to ask me for your name. God says, this is my name. I am that I am. I've never had a birth. I'll never have a death. I have always been. I transcend all that there is. I'm outside of it all. And I'll be with you. That's worshiping him in truth. When we sing, my friend, in our songs, and forgive me, but you know, we put the words up on the screens. I don't personally think that's good, but we do it because of protest. You want to know why? Because if you have them on the screen, you'll never memorize them in your heart. You'll just wait for the operator to throw them up, and we'll mouth them. And if it doesn't sink into our chest and into our heart, we'll just wait next week until it comes around so we can look again. It's okay to put them up on the screen. Let's just commit them to memory. Why? Because we want to worship him in truth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You get that stuck in your head? And that's a good thing to chew on. A mighty fortress is our God. You start whistling that in your head, and the problems of your life daily get a little smaller. Because all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got this problem. Hey, you are a mighty fortress. That's right. I just got done singing that little ditty in my head. God, that's right. You know what I'm talking about. It's true. You want to know how you know it's true and how I know it's true? It's very painful what I'm going to say, and it doesn't sound like you're having much of a good time anyway right now this morning anyway. We can go down the freeway, we can get to our work, turn off the car, and walk into the company, and what's in our head? I don't know. Elton John's Goodbye Norma Jean. What? Yeah, I love you, yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you saying? Is this evil? I'm not saying necessarily it's evil, but I am definitely saying it gets stuck in your head. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't it funny at Christmas time, we're all walking around at the store going, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the. Where did that come from? Because you sang it in church. You heard it on K-Big or whatever the radio station was. You were tuned into K-Wave. It gets in there. And that's a very, very important thing because you know what? Truth, listen, we have to nurse on truth. We have to eat upon truth. We have to consume truth because there's a world outside these walls that is waiting to consume you and I when we leave this place. And it's very subtle. It'd take this Bible study, and by noon today, your neighbor might say, hey, what was the message on today? Worship, I don't know, something about why should I? I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. Because we're not meditating on the truth. Are you convicted as I'm convicted? I'm convicted. I've been praying for years. I love jazz music. I love jazz. I confess that. God help me. Pray for me, will you? And, oh Lord, please, get some of these jazz people saved so I can listen to their music without being convicted, you know. And I'll listen to some cute old jazz song, and the Lord will say, turn it off. But God, don't you know that in 1947, this one went to the top of the charts? You think that impresses him? Oh, Jack, I'm sorry. That's right. And it's by Tony Bennett. I should have known. No, it doesn't impress him. But what is it for you? Celine Dion. Who is it for you? See, you go, I can't believe our pastor sneaks some jazz music in from time to time. Oh, listen, what is your thing? That's why we should listen to godly music. I don't care if it says Christian on the label anymore. Doesn't mean it's Christian. I heard a broadcast. I didn't even know it was I didn't even know who they were. Quite frankly, I don't really like them. But this band was singing, and I didn't even know it was the band, the song. I'm listening to the word. We are like sheep without a shepherd, wandering around this lonely wilderness, and we need your... And I don't remember the rest of the song. And I, wow, what a great Christian song that is. Woo! And it was great from start to finish. Great! You know who was singing the song? The Eagles. The words to the song were more Christian than so-called Christian songs. Is somebody on the Eagles saved? I don't know. A friend of mine told me recently, through all of his hardships and tragedies, God got the attention of a man that you all know. He's so famous. He's a legend. His whole life has changed. He lost his child, lost his wife, and has all the wealth and all the fame and all the world. And you know what? He said it means nothing to him anymore. I have a friend on the East Coast of the United States who, after the death of Linda McCartney, who, by the way, on Monday nights, Linda McCartney's sister was having Monday night Bible studies in the McCartney home in England, that Paul McCartney has been witness to several times about the love and the forgiveness of God, and pray for him, rumor has it that he's so close. These are men with great talents and great influence. But you know what? God-given talents? Sure. But what do they do with them? Did they prostitute those talents for the world? Or perhaps in the end, can they be given to God? And we look down at the world because of all their lyrics and all of their conduct, and justifiably so. But you know what? They don't know any better. They don't have the truth you do. They don't have the truth I do. They're not born again. But you know what? What about us? I mean this with all of my heart. And if you know, you listen to the stuff that Pastor Don's got to put up with worship, because I'm always telling Don, oh, Don, just lead me there, man. Lead me there. The Church of Jesus Christ, who's heaven-bound, who knows the truth, who has a brand new spirit. We're born again. It's our spiritual lives to worship. You name the group, you name the singer, you name the band, they should be lining up to get inside the doors of this place, because God will anoint his people when they sing with scratchy, goofy voices like mine. When we sing like we mean it unto the Lord God Almighty, the world, Mariah Carey will line up to get in here. Why? You know what? We can sing better than those people. There's no doubt about it. And they don't have any world platinum records like we do. But you know what? There's something going on with those people. They're crazy. There's something great. There's a passion coming out of their life. They're on fire. For what? For who? I need to know. I believe this. It's important. Listen. It requires that we give our lives to him spiritually. Well, listen, praise the Lord. I've got a bazillion pages of notes. We're going to make part two. If not, we'll go as long as it takes on this thing of worship. Because you know what? We can go through a lot of things in a Sunday, but this thing we cannot rush, because this is what we're going to be doing forever. And I hope and pray that this week worship intoxicates you, possesses you, conquers you. I am inviting in our lives the Holy Spirit to get control of our TV, our radio, our CD or DVDs, And it may not be that you're watching or hearing anything that's improper. No, not at all. But don't be surprised if someone somewhere steps up to you and says, I'm the Lord your God who created the heavens and the earth. Turn all that stuff off and worship thou me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called Why Should I Worship? It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called the Why Should I series. Lessons that take a look at how the scriptures command and admonish the believer to live out the Christian life. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. Ask Pastor Jack, it's a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. If you've got a question for Pastor Jack, simply send it to Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. That's Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. All right, today's Ask Pastor Jack comes from the pulpit, and it's on the topic of what's often referred to as baptismal regeneration. Here it is. Pastor Jack, is it true that we as Christians have to be baptized to go to heaven? I've been told this since I was very small. My dad is always on me because I haven't been baptized. He bases this on John 3, verse 1.
Should you be baptized? I'm saying, should you be baptized? Answer is absolutely yes. Why? If you're a Christian, you should be baptized because it's a public declaration of the fact that you've been internally changed. What circumcision is to a Jew outwardly, baptism is to a Christian outwardly. Now, we have a baptism coming up. And let's say you gave your heart to the Lord, or you're this person, you've never been baptized. If you have the opportunity to be baptized, you should be baptized in obedience to the Lord. Does it save you? No, you cannot get baptized unless you're saved. That's why many of you have been baptized as an infant. You honestly, you made your parents really happy. But it did nothing. You got wet. According to the Bible, you got wet. That's all you did is get wet. Baptism is an outward declaration that you've repented of your sins. Tell me what a 3-month-old or a 6-month-old is going to repent of.
Man, I was nursing too long last night. I'm a glutton.
Come on. You have to be conscious of sin to repent. You have to be conscious of sin to repent. And so for us, you get in your car now. We're going to go to the baptism. And you're driving down to the baptism and you get killed in a car accident. Oh my goodness, too bad. He was only 3 miles from heaven. That doesn't work that way. Thief on the cross wasn't baptized, okay? But then, listen, Philip witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, right? And he was baptized immediately after he gave his heart to the Lord. If you have opportunity, get baptized immediately. If the baptism is when you're going to be baptized down at the beach with us, fantastic. But baptism cannot save you. Cannot. It can only happen to those who are already saved. And by the way, you got to be dipped under. The word baptizo, the word baptizo in Greek means to be completely submerged. Isn't that cool? Why? Because now look, if somebody's crippled or something like that, we do this at the beach. We pour water all over them. God knows, right? He knows. But the word, the symbol is death. Baptizo into a watery grave symbolically and resurrected in newness of life. Okay? Simple.
Okay, that's Pastor Jack from the pulpit on whether or not one needs to be baptized in order to be saved. Ask Pastor Jack. It's simple. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You might hear the answer from the pulpit, or you might hear it when we get him in here in the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.